Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode. Good day. Welcome back to another week and another episode of the T-Bone Speaks podcast. This week, I'm going to be have a conversation with Dr. Eric Ballou of Boise, Idaho. And Eric and I have a quite candid and honest conversation about some struggles and wins that he's had in his practice implementing dental sleep medicine or sleep apnea therapy into his practice. We talk about champions, HSTs, financial pressures, medical insurance, and we talk about a few other things as well. So I know you're going to love this episode. I also want to continue reading reviews, and this week I have a review from May the 23rd, 2018, from LRC DDS, and I got a 3-star review. I don't want to only just put the 5-star reviews up there, but it's the only 3-star review I have. And here's what LRC DDS said. I love the podcast, and I absolutely love the information. I love T-Bone as well and his style of presentation. However, I must be completely honest for the benefit of the podcast and my sanity. I have listened to every single T-Bone Speaks podcast episode, and I listen to podcasts constantly on a daily basis. I must comment about the horrible audio quality for this show. Lately, the audio quality has been almost unlistenable. It sounds as if T-Bone and his guest are in a cave or a tunnel. Very disappointing, and I've been really frustrated with the audio as I really want to hear what the guests are speaking of. I've even had to stop listening to some episodes because of the poor audio quality. I know you aren't new to podcasting, so that's why I'm so confused as to why this is what's being released. Very poor quality, honestly, and I'm just hoping this problem gets better because I really love the show. Thanks. That's the kind of reviews and critique I'm looking for. It's a very fair assessment. We went through a period of time where the audio just sucked. I mean, it sucked so bad. The digital audio recorder I had was on the fritz, and quite frankly, I wasn't reviewing the episodes before I put them up. So hopefully, as you can see, we've made significant strides in having much better audio. And now that we have a dedicated studio, we should be getting a lot better at that as well. So I want to thank LRC DDS for his honest and constructive feedback. And I hope each of you listening will continue to provide that as well. So again, I'm going to introduce our conversation with Dr. Eric Ballou. And my only last thing for you guys is, if you can ever need help education-wise, looking for some great CE, don't forget to think of 3D Dentists. And now let's get to our conversation with Eric Ballou. All right, I want to welcome everybody back for a new addition to the T-Bone Speaks podcast. Today, I have Dr. Eric Ballou, who's been a longtime friend, fall down.
Yeah.
And we've been working together. He's been helping me become a better person.
Oh, thanks.
And we've been trying to work with him on different aspects of his life as well. So Eric, you've been doing well?
Yeah. I love coming out here. Just finished up another course, first time with it, and I thought about how much I've changed in the last year and a half that you started really mentoring me, and I couldn't be more grateful. I came over one night to do my first podcast, and with Aaron Elliott, a friend of ours, and you started. I had just finished up the sleep course. And I had one idea of what I thought a sleep champion should be or who I was going to do that with. Mm-hmm. And that's evolved and changed quite a bit since then. But I'm just having so much fun with my team and incorporating sleep into my practice and speaking and helping and teaching and training and those kind of things as well. But just getting my practice to where I'm really feeling good about what I do and how I do it has been very rewarding.
You know, I call that clarity, you know, and look, I struggle with it every day. But at some point we have to have some clarity and transparency about what it is that makes us happy and what it is that we want. And I think as individuals, as driven people, as smart people, as most dentists are, is that when we get that clarity and transparency, we will find a way to get there. But the challenge is that starting point, you know, and the second challenge is when we veer off path, how quickly can we get back on path? And that's the way we really struggle, is trying to get back, because we all veer our path. Mm-hmm. It's how quickly can we get back on path, and who do we have around us to get back on path? Mm-hmm. So what's on your mind today? Where can we help each other?
So in this course, first of all, the Edentulous course, I loved it.
Thank you.
Loved it, because I love that you started off with, here's a case that I did that I struggled with. A lot of speakers and teachers and trainers don't show those. Yeah. And you let us see what you did different and how you're doing it now digitally. And that whole program was quite amazing. And one of the things that I noticed that you've done with edentulous cases, mm-hmm. like you did with sleep, is create one person that's really not in charge, because you're ultimately in charge. But she's really guiding that and becoming that patient advocate. And I'm still developing that person mm-hmm. with sleep, and she's doing great. But now I'm trying to figure out how can I do that with these bigger cases that I'd like to do. I'd like to go back and do an edentulous case, or just even a couple of implants or a bigger case. How do I create an advocate? Okay. What are some things that I could do to improve my current advocate for mm-hmm. sleep, my sleep champion mm-hmm. is what we call them. But how can I also develop that other treatment coordinator to...
Well, I always have a tendency to think you hire for attitude and all of those things,
okay.
right? So if somebody's not naturally comfortable talking to people, then being a patient advocate is going to be tough, okay? If somebody's naturally not comfortable learning new things, like Megan's had to learn how insurance works and doing that, or at least making sure it gets coordinated and being able to delegate that, hey, maybe Michelle in our office is going to take care of the insurance benefits, but I'm ultimately responsible for it.
Okay.
That it falls back on me if the patient doesn't get the answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's not about that person has to be able to do everything. That person has to make sure that it gets
done. Done.
Okay. But if that person is not a nurturing person, I think it's going to be a hard position.
Okay.
If they're pretty cut and dry, like this has got to be this way, this way, this way, I think, at least in our practice, that's going to be a little bit difficult. But here's what I always say, okay, and I think you made a comment that I'm resilient. I'll keep trying and trying and trying.
Yeah.
Is you never know until you put somebody in that situation, okay? And sometimes people don't know what they're capable of until they're put into that situation. So I think that...
Like you tried that, making Megan at one point asleep. Champion.
That's correct.
Ended up, she wasn't the best fit for that versus...
Yes. Yeah. So what happened was at one time we had moved Megan into being a co-sleep champion.
Okay.
I was having Liz work chair side with me sometime, Megan do this and this, and what happened was it just didn't work out. There was no continuity of care.
So you moved things around and tried something new. There's
right.
your resilience.
And part of it also is like you had mentioned, like, why am I making an advocate for these types of cases? Because I want to do them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I believe that you create your problem. I don't believe that you wait for problems to happen. I think sometimes you just go and create your problems, right? And so one of the things that we're doing is if we have a person that's focused on this,
then those things generally happen somehow. And so we create room for these things to happen. I think it's standard of care in a practice that, you know, in a practice that wants to do beyond, you know, bread and butter dentistry, okay? They want to do beyond quadrant dentistry, okay? If they want to go beyond that, I think it should be standard of care for the practice to have a person that is a patient advocate slash treatment coordinator, because those cases take long. I mean, some of our cases extend out over a year and a half or 2 years.
Yeah, the patient we worked on today was
9 months.
9 months.
That was before we even began treatment.
Yeah.
Right? You know, in 9 months, I may change assistants. I may change front office people. I may change treatment coordinators, right? Mm-hmm. But somebody's got to be in charge of following up with these cases before they begin. That's the sales process. That's mm-hmm. the salesman. The job of a salesperson is to help you make a decision. Mm-hmm. Okay? Notice I didn't say make it, like coerce you or convince you to make a decision. Help you make a decision. And no can be a decision. Correct. Okay? And so that's her role.
And then when she had, so as a hygienist, she had heard you talk about treatment lots of times, mm-hmm. and she put it in the computer.
Right.
But she probably never made financial arrangements. Yeah. How did you teach her how to do that?
Our overall workflow is treatment plans of $2,500 or less, our financial arrangements are made directly by the hygienist.
Okay.
And then when we get beyond $2,500, that's what in our office, that's what we consider a medium-sized case. When we get beyond $2,500, we want to pass that off to one of our front office people to then take care of the financial arrangements with patients.
She had some
basic understanding of what our overall financial arrangements were. She had no experience in dealing with, at this point, she's dealt with up to $70,000 cases now. Okay, so that's a lot. That from $2,500 to $70,000 is a pretty big jump. Okay, so we've dealt with those things, and this is where I think we all fail a little bit, is we expect these people to have results so quickly, and we're not willing to go through that struggle period with them, that resilience that we need to allow people to fail. Okay, I just firmly believe it. To succeed, we have to fail first. Okay, and so we have to go through that, and you have to be clear with them. I'll walk you through the first few times. I'll do it myself. Make sure you ask me questions. If you're ever unsure, come to me. Let's sit down for 10 minutes and walk through this. What does this look like? What happened here? That accountability that we're not creating, sometimes we're uncomfortable creating, and asking them where we stand and how things have come along there.
Now.
Sarek, a Serona cone beam owner, don't trick yourself into thinking you already know everything there is to know. Because the truth is, when you decide that that's happening, you've merely chosen where to level off your practice. Too often I hear cone beam owners and Sarek owners tell me that they haven't taken any education or training in the last several years. It's a mistake. That technology is constantly evolving, and that technology is getting faster and faster and faster each and every day. You owe it to yourself, you owe it to your practice to get the education that will help you get results for your practice. If you're looking for a resource, don't hesitate to go to 3D Dentist by visiting www.3d-dentist.com, where you will find some of the best cone beam training and CEREC training in the country. I look forward to seeing you at one of our workshops in the near future. Now, let's get back to the show.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family. T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges, I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentist.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
Now we just say, hey, we care about you. We see these red flags. I'm genuinely interested in your health, not just your teeth, but your overall health. And we've got this home sleep study. We can send it home with you. Okay. And if we get some results that you want to do something about or above a certain score, we need to have that read by a board certified MD. Mm-hmm. We're going to have that done. That's $150. And the patient says, great, let's do it. Okay. And so that's going out the door. When they come back, instead of me spending all that time and getting too technical and my time, I started allowing my sleep champion to do that. She'd heard me do it bunches of times. And right away, we got a couple that just said they want it. I mean, she walked over and said, hey, I'm taking images. I'm like, this is great. And so we had this day where we had two, maybe three starts in a day. That's a big day. Right. And it really helped me simplify my verbiage, which I've always got to get better at, but it really helped me simplify my verbiage, spend less time there. And the other thing that helped me is my wife has been in treatment with an oral appliance for 6 months. And I've got this personal story that I can share with patients because my wife is thin. And she's not. It's not just a big fat man disease. This is, this is what.
It's not a Tebow disease.
Well, no. It's just there's a lot of people that you wouldn't expect to struggle with sleep. And my wife didn't snore, and she just had a little bit of sleep disruption. And I thought, let's just do a home sleep study. I wish I would have caught it earlier, but we made a few of them, three different kinds. She loves her OptiSleep the most, But right away she said, I can dream like I've never been able to dream before. Mm-hmm. Do your other patients talk about that? And she wakes up and like way before me now, she's working out. She just feels great. Mm-hmm. She's getting oxygen. She just feels great. And she won't sleep without it. So I've got this personal story and it helped me think about who else am I missing? My dad has broken a lot of dentistry that I've done. Chipped off of veneers, different things, and it's always in the morning. And I thought, I wonder if he's got underlying apnea and a cause for this grinding and clenching. Right. And I did a home sleep study on him, found out that he's got an AHI of 30.
Wow.
He's got severe. And then his heart is jumping to 108 beats per minute many times a night, and which makes sense to why he had to have a cardioversion. Right. And he had an ablation. And they probably should have done a sleep study throughout that process, but they didn't. And so I thought, well, let's get going something with him. And he says, I don't want a damn appliance in my mouth. And I thought, I should be better about that word. And I started calling it retainers. Right. And because people visualize a sleep retainer. And so for the last 3 months at least, I've been calling these sleep retainers. And even when I talk about some of the things, the red flags that I'm seeing in a home sleep study, I give them the solution right away. I said, either you've got really bad apnea and you might need CPAP, or we make these sleep retainers here, and they're great. My wife wears one, my dad wears one, my mom wears one. They love it. And I talk about the benefit of that. And changing that terminology has really helped them visualize it instead of a sleep appliance. And getting less technical has been really good for me.
So Eric, what I've heard is four things that you've done to help improve your sleep practice, go from struggling, even after the training, to really starting to see some good progress. Mm-hmm. Okay. One is you broke down a barrier to help people get tested. So in other words, we can't treat somebody or help somebody until they actually have a condition. Mm-hmm. Okay. And we have to get out of the way to make that happen. Okay. Number two, what I heard was you got out of the way.
Yeah.
Okay. By putting into place the beginning stages of a sleep champion. Mm-hmm. Okay. And what that means is, in other words, somebody that manages the patient. Okay. That helps them through it, that answers their question, that goes through the technical things for them in their own very patient-friendly language, okay, that can do the model work, that can do all of those things for the patient. The third thing that I heard is that you had a short-term win, okay? In other words, you had a day that was successful, and that excited and energized people to see that, okay, this does work and it does help, okay? The fourth thing that I heard was that you had a personal story and some internal changes in the wording that you used. So Paul Hanley would call that story selling. Okay, in other words, you were able to talk about how your wife was doing better, how your father was doing better, how your father taught you that patients don't want a kitchen appliance in their mouth, right? But most people know what a retainer is because orthodontists have done retainers forever. Okay, so it's a good starting point for it. So that's kind of what I've heard that you've done to change and see, start to kind of turn the corner on developing sleep. So what's the next step for you in sleep?
Tracking my numbers a little better so I can figure out if I've got, working backwards, this many studies going out each day, what is my conversion rate to
actual appliances?
Actual appliances.
I would argue that you should establish what you would think is good.
I just throw a number out to my champion, so we're doing 6 now, which is up from like 2 or 1, that I want to do 10.
Per month.
10 per month.
So, but my question is what percentage of conversion do you think would be good?
Oh, reasonable? Most of the sleep studies that I'm sending out, I'm not just sending it with anybody. Okay. These are people that are missing some teeth, big tongues, a lot of wear.
They have the clinical signs and symptoms.
Yeah, they have the clinical signs and symptoms. So the majority, I'd probably say 80 to 90% are coming back with some
condition.
And not even all of them have, occasionally I get something that's too severe that I'm saying, why don't you go do a lab study and try CPAP? But those middle range ones, I bet I'm less than 50% right now. So that, I'd like to get 50% at least.
Why are these people saying no? These 50 to 60% that say no, why are they saying no?
For us, it's been, I think, mostly finances.
Okay, great. Let's stick with that. Okay. What are you doing with those patients?
Well, we've made it a clear cash price of $2,000, which is below the average.
But price is not the issue for patients. It's affordability. And we can come back to that. Okay, we can come back to that. I don't want to go there. So let me rephrase my question. If I say no to you, what is your follow-up with me?
I don't know, because I'm not having that discussion.
Okay, so there we go. That's the question we should be asking. Instead of what is our conversion rate and how do I get about 50%, the real question should be is what am I doing with the people that say no?
Okay.
So, and here's, I'm kind of go through that, what I call the book of business. Okay, so we have a book of business. Okay. So what happens is, ultimately, people are going to say no. Remember, I always say our goal is to help people make choices, and no is a choice. Okay. So what we do is we find out why the patient says no. Sometimes patients say, I'm not interested, never going to do it. They go into a book of business under that category. Sometimes patients say, you know what, I don't trust you. Okay, I don't really have the problem, I'm not really that interested, and they go into what I call the maybe book of business. Okay. And then I have patients that, and the majority of them are, I would love to do it, I want to do it, but what's really holding back is money. Okay, and they go into this book of business. So one of the roles of our sleep champion is to go through that book of business and follow up with people, okay, on a priority basis. Okay, so there's somebody, for us, the finances is the priority basis, okay, because what we know in our practice and from history is that medical insurance can overcome some of those financial barriers. Okay. So throughout the year, we'll call the patient and get permission to do a benefit check to find out, have they met part of the deductible and now maybe insurance is going to pay a little bit more than it used to pay. And that's how we're mining that part of our business to create more opportunities, to get that higher case acceptance that you're after is by following up with people. And also what happens is people get that sense that we care a little bit more. Another thing that you can do to increase the case acceptance there would be to focus on comfortable payment plans for patients. So I'm a firm believer that price isn't what people can't afford. Okay, it's affordability. And affordability is about how do I make monthly payments. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's really what it is. For the most part, if I ask you or somebody else how much did you pay for your car, most people can't actually tell me what the price of their car is. What they can tell me is the affordability factor. Is it $300 a month, $400 a month, $500 a month, right? And I think that's where the conversation has to start changing, not to lower your cash price, because that's still a lot of money to that person, mm-hmm. right? And whether it's $1,800 or $2,000, it's still a lot of money to the patient. Mm-hmm. It's about what ways can we do to help them afford the treatment, okay? And to me, that boils down to, can we do a down payment and then extended payment plans? Mm-hmm. Can we look to third-party companies to help them afford that treatment? So I think if you want better case acceptance, number one,
with an amount like $2,000, mm-hmm. what do you think we should use a third party for that?
If that's your, what your comfort level is, if that's your only choice, you know, let me ask you this. I'll ask you this way, because people ask me, how do I come up with these things? I just ask myself what I'm comfortable with, okay? If I gave you $100 down and then made $1,900 payments per month for 19 months, and you were the bank, would you be comfortable with that? No.
Yeah.
But maybe is not a good answer. So the answer is no. Maybe okay. Tells me no, right? If I could afford a $800 down, and then I was willing to pay you $100 a month for 12 months for the next $1,200, would you be comfortable with that?
Yes.
Okay. So there's your answer. Okay. So to me, it's then we start coming down to, Mr. Jones, look, I understand that $2,000 right now doesn't work for you, mm-hmm. and as $2,000. So we have two choices for you. Okay. Choice number one is we can do an $800 down payment and do $100 automated withdrawal from your credit card for the next 12 months. Okay. And you can get your sleep appliance now. Or we can look at third-party financing through XYZ company. And they can allow you to make payments up to 24 to 60 months.
Okay.
And it might be $100, you know, maybe $50 to $100 a month, right? And that's the difference in price. So what most dentists do, and I'm guilty of it too, is instead of we drop our price, which only hurts our profitability, mm-hmm. okay, and our ability to deliver excellence, when we really shouldn't be dropping our price, we should be making it more affordable.
Okay,
that's good advice. And so I would look at that. Those are the things that are going to make a bigger impact in your sleep business. And I'm so
and then creating happy. Those categories better.
Yeah, or just defining what
the book of business.
And you don't define those categories.
My sleep champion.
The person that actually talks to the patient.
Yeah.
Okay. And what your role in this is you need to know who's taking out the sleep test, how many are taking it out, mm-hmm. and then you need to on a daily basis or every other day basis. Say, hey, Sally Joe, I don't know your person's name. What's your person's name?
Audrey.
Okay, Audrey, I know that we sent out 4 sleep tests in the last 2 days. Mm-hmm. Tell me where those patients are at.
Okay.
Well, 3 of them said no. Audrey, tell me more. Why did they say no? What is the most common 2 or 3 reasons? You know, and don't say what are the reasons, because then they'll list like 80. They'll give literally like every patient's reason, okay? What are the most 2 or 3 common reasons that patients say no? And they'll tell you, okay? And 80% of the time, it's going to be money,
okay?
And then the 20%, maybe 70%, but 20-30% of the time, it's going to be some other category.
Okay.
And then say, Audrey, here's what we need to do, okay? As a business, I need to make sure I cover my costs. Okay, that's non-negotiable to me,
mm-hmm.
okay? But I'm willing to, and I want to help people, so we've got to find a way to make it more affordable for them, okay? I want to implement third-party financing. I want to implement a down payment and do this. And then turn the question back on Audrey. So Audrey, would some of these patients have said yes instead of $2,000 up front, if it was $800 up front and then a $100 monthly payment? Would that have made a difference for them? And Audrey would say, maybe, yes some, no some, right? Mm-hmm. So you've left something on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what we've done, again, it kind of comes back to our patient advocate conversation, is that's how I created advocates. I just asked my team members. Yeah, what do you think would have happened if we did this?
Get their input rather than just saying, this is what we should do.
Yeah, because I don't know.
Right.
Okay. Number one, I live in a different world economically than them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I live in a different world economically than the majority of our patients. Mm-hmm. And I'm not the one talking to them. So I'm making assumptions of what people say. I'm interjecting my bias.
Okay.
So really it should be about getting the feedback from team members about what the reality is, and then going through and adjusting what the options are, and getting your feedback from your team. if we were able to offer this, do you think that would help them say yes? Audrey, if you were in my shoes, would you be comfortable offering that to a patient?
Okay.
And see, if Audrey says, no, I don't want to do that, I don't think we should do that, then your decision is Audrey the right fit for this thing, if you know that's going to help, or is Audrey being right that we shouldn't do this? Okay. And that's your decision, ultimately.
If you're confused about how to grow your practice, then you need to hear the rest of this message. Listen, the ways of the 1980s and the 1990s simply do not work anymore. You have to be different. And the way to be different in today's competitive environment is not doing more of the same thing that everybody else is doing, but adding new services to your practice. If you're looking for a solution that's logical, practical, and full of business tips to how to implement strategies into your practice to add new services, then you need to look at my company, 3D Dentists. We provide fantastic training that will help you grow your practice by adding new services to your existing patient base. If you want to learn more, all you got to do is visit www.3d-dentists.com and look around and see what's right for you. If you have any questions, don't ever hesitate to reach out to me. Now let's get back to our show.
All right. Well, I'm jazzed about the Edentulist course.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And the techniques and that. I'm really excited about going back and spending some time with my sleep champion to figure out how to create those books of business, get her input to figure out what are obstacles.
Yeah, ask her, what would it take? What do you think it would take to be successful?
And then I've got two team members, maybe three, that could be treatment coordinators. Mm-hmm. In the role,
Be careful about doing two or three people in that.
No, I have two or three to kind of start choosing from.
Okay, I got
so
you.
That I could go to those three and say, "What do you think about this?" And find out who wants that role.
Right.
And then what do you? And then set some expectations.
Okay.
And ask them, what do you think some expectations should be? And then maybe start working on that next.
A simple question. Level. To them is, what would that look like to you?
Okay.
What would, if I said I want you to be a sleep champion, what do you think that means? What would that look like to you? You may find that it's an even better description than what you came up with, right? Why bias people towards what you think it should be before you should just ask them?
Okay.
They may like if somebody if I said, oh Eric, that's so expensive. I think that's expensive. Your answer shouldn't be, well, it's only this. I think the answer should be, what do you mean by, what do you think is expensive? Mm-hmm. I may say, well, I think $1,000 is expensive. Well, great news. It's only $500. Mm-hmm. Okay? Or I may say $50 is expensive. Then, you know, Eric, you're right. This is expensive. Mm-hmm. You know, and last thing. So I believe we've got to develop people. Okay, especially in the private practice model for those dentists who are looking to go beyond bread and butter dentistry, go beyond just doing advanced dentistry, but really getting into really emotional dentistry, really satisfying dentistry. I think you have to start training people to think like owners. And I was sitting with Meredith last night after everybody left our house, and I asked Meredith, I said, Meredith, how's Invisalign going? She goes, well, we're going to do this many cases. And I was disappointed, but I didn't say anything. Mm-hmm. Okay. She said, but it's 12 more than we did all of last year. We're already 12 ahead of that. And I said, okay. I said, Meredith, what do you think it would look? I don't want an answer right now, Meredith, but I want you to think about this. And when I get back from Thanksgiving vacation, I want one of you and I to talk about it. We've already scheduled a meeting to sit down and talk. I said, I want you to tell me. I want you to put your thinking cap on. And what do we have to do? What do we have to have in place to do 100 cases? And how long do you think it's going to take us to get there? What's realistic? Mm-hmm. And then let's sit down. Let's develop that plan. Let's hash through it. Let me hear you. And then I'll talk to you about this is what it's going to... I'll share numbers with patients. My team members, I'm like, hey, this is what I think what's going to cost to do that. What do you think about this? And then, okay, I'm going to do it. Okay. And we co-develop our goals together and our plans together.
Okay.
Eric, it's always wonderful seeing you,
yeah,
my friend.
Thank you very
I love
much.
Having you out here. My wife loves you. She loves you more than
She's
me.
She's a sweetheart.
She's all right. You know, it's like everybody thinks, you know, growing up, everybody say, your mom is so nice. I'm like, God, she's tough. She's so... My mom is sweet. There's no question about that. But I'm like, she is the tough one in our house. My dad was so nice to me. My mom was always the tough one growing up. So I hate, I love that people say my wife is nice, but I'm like, that's not the real her. She's a tough cookie to me.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. So again, if you have questions, if you have things that you think I can help you with or that you can help me with, I would love to invite you on the show. We can do it in person. We can do it virtually via Skype or something, a tool like that. Or if you have other questions that you'd like to hear me talk about on the show, all you have to do is visit www.stbone.com. Thank you, everybody, and create a great day.